bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. And I'm back in the United States of America, which is sad to say because I wish I wasn't back in the United States of America. I wish I was back in Iceland. And so that's what I will talk with you about today, along with my wife, Leanne. We'll get her here in a minute. Oh, geez. Already having to clear my throat.
No. Okay, start over.
What? No, just... I told you not to talk until I tell you I'm ready for you to talk.
I got to listen.
No. So, last week I called people out from California... from Mountain View, California, and another city, I don't remember where, in New Jersey. California is just messing with me at this point, because I can see they're the ones who have listened to different podcasts the most this past week. But the guy from New Jersey, shout out to, what's your name? I don't remember, because I haven't looked at your email in a few days. But thanks for the email. Hopefully I can get you on the podcast sometime. And thank you for being a valued listener and joining me after listening to the Eric Zane Show Sudden Death podcast that I was on back in the beginning of July. So it was really cool that you reached out and you emailed, and I appreciate you for that. Hey, with the holidays coming up and everything, next week already, holy cow, a week from today is Christmas Eve. Wow, that blows my mind. Well, because of that, Apple has been emailing me about their podcast schedule. So I'm going to switch things up a little bit. This Thursday is when I will post the podcast that would normally post on Monday. So instead of posting on Christmas Eve, I will post this Thursday, the 20th, I believe is the date. And so it may be... part two of this week's podcast. I don't really know yet how this week's podcast is going to go. I don't know if we're just going to do one straight shot here, if it takes too long and we want to break it up into parts. Who knows? You'll either hear part two of the podcast on Thursday, or you'll hear another podcast that I've already recorded. So I have Leanne on the phone right now. Unfortunately, we weren't really in the mood to podcast the night that we returned. So here we are over the phone. Not my favorite. Not that I don't want to say I don't like talking to people on the phone, but I prefer the in-person podcast. And if you're listening from back home in the Michigan area, I will be back home this weekend. I'll be home for about a week. So if you'd like to connect and be on the podcast, please let me know, because I would love to talk with you. Love to get your story out there, and love to have you on the podcast. But for now, we welcome in Leanne to talk about Iceland. And really, Iceland was Leanne's dream destination. I know that at the end here, I'll get to some questions that people have been asking. But I know one of the questions, I believe, and even if it wasn't one of the questions, though I think it was, is why Iceland? So I'm going to let Leanne explain, because really this was Leanne's trip.
It was a trip with both of us.
Right, but it was, and you know, it's funny how trips work. I want to go places, so I'll plan them. But when Leanne wants to go places, it's, here's an idea. Okay, Trent, plan it.
Well, I like set the foundation, you know. I said would like to go to Iceland, and I kind of started looking up different possibilities for places we could go. I found like a company that I thought would do a really good job of hitting all the destinations while we were there. That were on my bucket list. And
sorry, pause. Are you jump roping or something? What is that noise in the background?
My computer, me breathing.
No, I don't know what it was. All right, continue on.
Do that.
Are you moving the phone around?
Yeah, my phone's plugged in and charging and I'm holding it.
Oh, that's probably why. All right, anyway, continue on.
Okay, I'll set it down. So I picked out everything and said, how's this sound? So I do the planning.
No, because I still had to do all the research.
Yeah, I did the research too.
How? No. I remember going back and forth between a few different sites and saying, Leanne, do you like this one? Leanne, how about that one? Or here's a couple different options.
And I always said, oh, I really like the Guide to Iceland one.
But at first, price was a big deterrent for us.
Yeah.
But we just said, F it, and let's go for it, because, I mean, like, debt, yeah, you can pay it off, but you also don't live forever. So why not just do it, especially if that's the trip that we know that we want to do, though we're going to Belgium next.
Anyway, so Iceland has always been on my bucket list. I've just been so, like, intrigued by how unique the landscape is, and it really looks like a whole different planet to me. And I do have to say, as much as, like, winter can be, you know, annoying, but I truly think I like winter at heart. I mean, we went to school in the UP, so can't seem to get away from cold weather. But, yeah, I just thought that a lot of the – it's just, like, a really unique place. It's a, you know, island that's mainly made up of volcanoes and glaciers and, you know, lava fields and stuff like that. So it's just really, really interesting. I think that, it's a really unique, like, land formation, because it's, in between, Iceland is in between and made up of, like, the North American and Eurasian continental plates. So there's a lot of interesting, like, land formations, and, you know, it's just really, really interesting. So.
And you know, go ahead.
Kind of where the spark came from for me. And then I come up with an idea and I'm like, oh, we got to go there. But I know it's been, you know, it's been a hot place of tourism over the last few years, especially, like, you know, it was kind of like unknown about until like 2010 when that volcano eruption of
yeah. Don't even try. Just don't try. Stop trying. Right.
But when it stopped, like, the air traffic for a few days, because of the volcanic ash was just so thick. So I don't know. Ever since then, like, you know, it's been had a lot of attention drawn to it, and then, like, a lot of the sites there and, like, landscapes have been kind of used for films and like different TV series, like Game of Thrones and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool.
Okay, but don't say it like you care. Like, you didn't go there because you're like, you don't even watch Game of Thrones. So it's not like that's why you went there.
Right. No, that's not what, like, drew me to it. But I'm saying that's what, like, has been a hot place because you know, people are like those shows or like some, like, I don't know, you know, it's just, it's an interesting place and very beautiful. And that's kind of what I was looking. I'm like an adventure seeker too. So, you know, hiking and sightseeing and landscapes, I really enjoy, more so than laying on a beach, which is nice and relaxing. But I'd rather be out and experiencing, and this definitely was a trip for that.
Well, yeah, just some movies: Batman Begins, James Bond, View to Kill, Die Another Day, Letters from Iwo Jima, Journey to the Center of the Earth, Star Trek Into the Darkness, couple of the Star Wars movies, a lot of Marvel movies actually, like Thor, The Dark World, Captain America, Civil War. Here's another Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, Justice League, Fast and Furious 8, and there's a whole list of them that I just found from a website when I was looking at where Batman Begins was filmed while we were there. But yeah, definitely a lot of movies there.
Yeah.
All right, so we start at the top. Like I said, this may very well be a two-part podcast, depending how far we get and how far we want to continue to get. So on the very first day, we flew out of the Chicago O'Hare Airport, direct flight, and your shock may be like mine when you find out how short it actually was. It was only a 6-hour flight, and really a lot shorter than what you think it is. The other thing, too, is I didn't know this well before the trip, eventually before the trip I knew. I never knew Iceland, or if you want to say it the Icelandic way, Iceland, was an island. I never knew the country was an island. And you can't say anything against me because I asked a few other people, and at least two other people I talked to, actually really no one I talked to said, yeah, I know it's an island. Both people I talked to said, no, I did not know it was an island.
I knew it was an island, but I also am fairly familiar with geography. The world.
Okay, but you also made me feel stupid when I said I didn't know it was an island.
I don't know. I've always had an interest in maps, so I actually studied, but I just enjoy looking at maps and stuff, so.
Well,
I had familiarity with it.
On the first day at the airport, we're sitting there and we're sitting in this little area, kind of waiting, killing some time. And I start telling Leanne this joke that my friend John had told me the night before. Leanne had been working. I was out with my friends, John and Rachel. And so I was retelling a joke in the airport that John had told me. I was retelling it to Leanne. And Leanne goes, oh, fuck. And Leanne told me, she goes, the girl behind you is listening. So while we were drinking our beer and while I was telling this joke, apparently the girl behind me in the booth, was listening to this joke. Did you happen to catch her reaction at all to the joke?
Yeah, I actually came to find out she wasn't actually looking back towards you. She was waiting for her friend to come. So I don't know if she's actually listening. And finally her friend arrived.
Why didn't you tell me that before I just told that story?
Because it was totally worth it.
Oh. Well, what was also totally worth it to you was the two guys who were working, who were behind the bar, and you said, gosh, I wonder if they're like twins or brothers or something. Actually, I think you said twins, because then the guy actually said that they were brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was uncanny, though, at how much they looked alike. Even though I didn't really care, but then you decided to ask them as they were walking by.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we board the plane, and I think everyone's worst fear on a plane is not the actual flying part. It's, am I going to have a screaming child behind me or near me part? Except for Leanne, it wasn't a screaming child.
Right. I had a little toddler kicking the back of my seat, and I was about to turn around and scream at them, but.
Well, as I
didn't want me to cause a scene.
No, and as I'll get into later, one of our, I guess you could call them like guides, at the very end of our trip, he used the word shite. So I guess you could say you're about to lose your shite.
Right.
Yeah, thankfully those people moved very quickly. But I feel like it was instantaneously, the minute you sat down, the minute your seat started getting kicked.
And then they were just like saying, oh, like, stop it. You're kicking the back of her chair. So they're probably like a little embarrassed, but
But
it's just they moved.
I mean, like, at the same time, though, we'll be parents one day. But I do feel bad. Like, I mean, what do you do in that situation otherwise if you're those parents?
Don't bring your kids.
What?
I said, don't bring your kids.
Or, I guess.
Or tranquilize them.
But if they live in Iceland, they don't really have a choice but to bring their kid.
I know.
Well, Leanne was packing, and I don't know how many times I told Leanne, you're packing too much. And, you know, the one thing that you said that really tipped me off that you were going to pack too much when we were talking about the two big suitcases that we had, and I asked which suitcase I was going to use, you said, well, I'm going to use this one because it's the double-decker, so I get to pack on two sides. Right there should be enough that you're packing way too much already.
Yeah. Well, for the most part, I used almost everything except for the snow boots, which is stupid. Those are so heavy and they took up so much space. And then there were like some leggings I didn't wear and like maybe a sweater, but for the most part I used everything. It's just like, it was too much.
Well, and then I was talking to my mom the other day, and even I started cracking up just retelling this to her, and then she started laughing. But, you know, in the car on the way to the airport, I don't know if you remember this, but we were talking again about your luggage and how I was like, oh my gosh, I swear, if we have to pay for this bag, and your dad had, I don't know what he had asked you, but you go, well, I rearranged some stuff, as if you rearranging some stuff in your bag was going to lighten the load of the bag at all.
Well, obviously I knew it wouldn't. I was just, you know, trying to appease you.
Well, just because you rearrange stuff doesn't make the bag any lighter.
Right.
The same stuff is in the bag.
Right. I was just humoring you.
Well, you got... And, you know, you packed everything under the sun except headphones. So I had to give you a pair of extra headphones that I had that, mind you, have still not been returned. And then Leanne's bag was 49.94 pounds. The limit is 50.
I did pretty well.
Keep that in mind, though. Keep that in mind for when you hear the very end of this podcast, whether it's today or later this week. For when we retell about weight.
Okay, so
keep that in mind.
Just going to interrupt. I don't think people really want to hear about, like, packing.
Okay, this is the lead up.
About Iceland, like.
This is the lead up.
The garbage leading up.
Whose podcast is this?
Let's get to the nitty gritty, like, the interesting stuff.
Whose,
like,
podcast is this? Did you take notes? No. Come on.
I know. You like,
okay, stop.
Let's talk about Iceland itself.
Okay, we will in a moment. I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
I know, because
I'm getting there. It's the buildup. So what you don't know, because you were sleeping on the plane, is that, so there is a karaoke Iceland song that I had listened to at least, no joke, 50 times before this trip. And then Leanne found it on the little TVs that were in front of us as well. Liam, what you don't know, because you were sleeping, is actually when I watched that on the plane on the way to Iceland, I teared up a little bit.
Oh, really?
I was very excited for this trip. You know, what amazes me is that they don't have a single stop sign in that country. They have yield signs, which I think they drive excellently there. They have yield signs. Their stoplights essentially count down of like, all right, it's about time to go, because the light goes yellow before it goes green. So I thought that was interesting. Here's something that's not interesting, because it happens 100% of the time. Leanne never listens. Leanne won't listen. She will make you repeat stuff. Here's why it's important to know Leanne doesn't listen. Because we were given directions when we were about to get on the bus from the airport to the Blue Lagoon. Leanne again, not listening, goes to the wrong bus. Why did you go to the wrong bus? Because you wouldn't have if you had been listening.
I don't know. Are we going to talk about the interesting stuff yet?
Yeah, we're working on it. I have a note here and I have no idea what it means. But one of the things that they say in Iceland is if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. And that seemed to be the case. I even noticed that about 10 minutes into the trip. Because on the way to the Blue Lagoon, it was snowing. I didn't even think it was snowing at first. And then it started snowing. And then it went straight to rain. There was like no sleet. It just went straight to rain.
Yeah, it was interesting how it changed so quickly. Like when we were on, what day trip was that? When we went to go see the Snæfellsnes.
Oh yeah, it was at the end.
It was like the western part of Iceland. It's like a bunch of valleys in that area, and it's a very mountainous terrain. We were coming back from that part of the country back to Reykjavik, and they have to close like some of the highways because of the such high winds that they get, and it was like fine earlier on in the day, but then it got really windy as the day went on. So we got cut off from, I don't know, we just made it through like that like road before they ended up like closing it because of those high winds. And they said that our guide has said that those winds get up to like 120 kilometers per hour, which like is about 80 to 90 miles per hour. And like, I don't know, I thought it was a pretty scary trip back to Reykjavik because sometimes those like winds would catch the side of our bus, and like we'd be like fishtailing on the road, and it was really scary, and it was also snowing and stuff. So I'm just glad we didn't have to drive, and that somebody else was doing it. I mean, it's different. Like, I'm like familiar with driving in winter conditions, but when you add like those such strong winds, like that's just a whole different.
I was sleeping, but it would have been different in a car. We were in a bus.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like when we were like talking with our guide about that, he said, you know, because a lot of tourists rent cars there, a lot of these tourists just don't know, like have never driven in this type of like conditions before, aren't familiar with like winter driving and stuff, and they'll just like be speeding and going so fast and like, you know, don't really pay too close attention to, you know, the wind or like the ice and stuff like that, and a lot of the tourists end up on the side of the road like in ditches because they just aren't, you know, taking the weather and the conditions into respect. And it's just, you know, it's pretty scary. People like driving very fast. And yeah, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to get hit. And like our guide was saying, I wasn't like too worried about us. I was worried about the other people like coming head on at us, like, and like getting, you know, a wind gust and them coming into our lane or something. But yeah, it was just a little intense.
It's easier to not be worried when you're sleeping. Right. All right. Well, you jumped way ahead.
Because the people want to hear about the trip and not the packing and the flying.
Okay. Well, I'm going chronologically.
Okay. Okay. You can step back to where you were.
On our first day, we had basically the entire day to ourselves. Nothing was really planned, except the Blue Lagoon, which is a big tourist spot. However, It was actually really nice when we were there because we got in at 6:30 a.m. So we probably didn't get there until 8 o'clock at the Blue Lagoon. So there really wasn't a whole lot of people there. There weren't a whole lot of people there. It was still dark, but I thought it was really nice until probably about, I don't know what, 9:30, 9 o'clock, when all of a sudden it became extremely windy and it was snowing. It was still nice because, I mean, you're in this lagoon, this geothermal water, but that whipping at your face and everything isn't the most fun thing necessarily.
Yeah, but I don't. That Blue Lagoon is really big. It's kind of cool because they have, like, a couple different bridges that connect a couple sections, and then there's, like a little cave area. So that we found, like, a spot that was, like, kind of near the swim-up bar that we would, like, hang out at that cut the wind out. And at the Blue Lagoon, it's not all a consistent temperature. There are areas that were, like, warmer than others, and you would find, we'd be, like, swimming around, and we'd find a little heat pocket that is, like, warmer than normal. So we'd just kind of, like... stay there for a couple minutes, and then, like, after that one, like, kind of dissipated, find another one. So it was kind of cool. I was talking about this with one of my friends from work when she was asking me questions about it, but she was like, oh, was it, like, dirty there? And I was like, no, actually the facility was so clean. I was, like, really impressed. I was kind of nervous it was gonna be like a dirty swimming pool kind of locker room, but it was really, like, I was really impressed by it. And they had we got, like, bathrobes and flip-flops and stuff, because the second you walked outside and hit that air, it was so cold. So it was nice to be able to, like, wrap up in that after we got out of the pool. But from, like, the locker room, there's, like, an entrance to the Blue Lagoon inside the actual facility. That was kind of, like, a ramp, so you could, like, walk down, and, like, then it had a door that went out into the actual Blue Lagoon itself. So it was kind of nice. You could get in the water inside and stay warm, or you could run outside, but actually walk to get into the water. It kind of took your pick if you wanted to freeze or if you wanted to, get out with a bunch of people, like, in a crowded area, because nobody actually wants to, like, hit the air.
Yeah, I mean, going outside, it was kind of just like a pool deck. If you imagine, like, what a pool deck would look like, that's what it was like to walk outside to the water.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember leaving, you have these wristbands that they give you, so everything's done through these wristbands. So when you go and you get your drinks and stuff, they just scan your wristband, and it all goes electronically to this account, I guess, that's linked to you. You use your wristband to get into the lockers and everything. I remember leaving the Blue Lagoon, leaving the area with the wristband, and you take it off and you just scan it, and then you drop it into this pocket that opens up on the machine. And then you can go through the gate. And I remember saying, oh my gosh, wow, like, this is amazing, or that's awesome. And jokingly, the guy who was standing there said, yeah, I designed it myself. I'm a millionaire. So everyone was, and I think that was the start of, looking back on the trip, I think that was the start of, wow, everyone is nice here. There wasn't a single person at the Blue Lagoon that was like, well, that was kind of rude, or that was kind of mean. But everyone was very nice, very helpful. I kind of understand one of the guys in the locker room, but other than that, I think he was nice, or at least from what I remember, he was pretty nice. We had the rest of the day to explore Reykjavik, which is the world's northernmost capital. And I believe it is not, is it or is it not? It is the capital of Iceland.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be why it's the world's northernmost capital. Here's the funny thing. We had three different tour guides on the trip that told us what the population what the population of Reykjavik is. And we got three different answers as to what the population of Reykjavik is. However, I'm looking here on the itinerary that was sent to us. Here's what the itinerary reads. With a population of less than 150,000, just over 200,000 in the greater area, blah, blah, blah. So that's what this guide to Iceland says for the population. But we also heard something like 350,000, didn't we?
Yeah, that's
hard to say.
Yeah, that's what I kept. That was the number I went by, 350,000.
But we did a lot of exploring on the first day since we had the day to ourselves. We went to a restaurant that had been recommended to me called Messin. I got the Arctic Char, and it was amazing. Oh, my gosh. I loved it. Leanne got the Atlantic Wolffish, and personally, I thought it was gross. It was more of a texture thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you liked it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, it was really good. I'm not one to complain about food ever, so I think everything I tried was really good. Yeah, I particularly liked that place the best because they included like a lot of vegetables incorporated in the dish, so I appreciated that.
Yeah, you sure did like the food because you were eating chocolate cake that I ordered. As you're eating away, you go, "Oh, is it okay? I'm eating more than just one bite." Because I think you had originally just wanted to try it.
Right. Yeah, but that's how it always starts.
Yeah, I just shared something on Facebook to you the other day about how I like my cake and I'll eat it too, and I like your cake and I'll eat your cake too, or something along those lines.
Exactly. It's always like, are you gonna eat that?
Well, and then the unfortunate piece was our Northern Lights tour had been canceled that night. But thankfully we were able to reschedule the Northern Lights tour. And we had this guy, Tony, who was our tour guide, and Lucas, who was the expert guide. It was a 3 out of 9 chance to see the Northern Lights the night that we ended up going. And thankfully, Tony found them. Yeah. No, not Tony. Lucas. Sorry, Lucas did.
Now, Lucas is from Poland, and apparently he's like a Northern Lights.
How do you know he's from Poland?
Because I listen to what they say.
I do too. I just didn't remember that.
So I guess he's like Northern Lights expert person to try and find them. But we kind of talked. I mean, it was like amazing to see the Northern Lights. We've seen them before in Marquette, and it was like more of a haze rather than like those ripples that you would see. But it was pretty cool, like, to be able to say we saw them in Iceland. But you know, they do have during the winter is when they see them the most, and they have like the better conditions, so they have more solar activity. But it's, you know, hit or miss. You need to have a clear night, no cloud coverage.
That was the hardest part about it, is a lot of the nights there was high solar activity, but we couldn't see anything because of the clouds and stuff.
Right, yeah. So you just really have to go in thinking, you know, it would be a bonus to see the Northern Lights as much as it would, you know, is you want to make it an expectation. You don't want to be like upset if it doesn't happen. But we really did luck out because we were able to see them on like two separate occasions. Well, one occasion, it was like through a camera. First occasion, it worked out.
Kind of both occasions, even though, yes, the first occasion we did, quote unquote, see them. It was more like this white haze, and you really didn't see the green until you got your photo and saw it in the camera and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wish we would have played around with your camera that you bought for the trip a little bit more, but oh well, what can you do?
I just want to enjoy the moment.
Well, and then day two, our tour guide, Christina, man, she really set the bar high for the rest of the trip. And I don't think, personally, I don't think anyone else reached the bar. Do you think anyone else reached the bar?
I thought they were all good in their own ways.
Yeah, but I thought Christina was top of the line, bomb.com. She was the best. I could have spent all week with her because she was funny. She was nice. She knew my name. If any of you watch The Impractical Jokers, and if you've ever seen the art producer, Christina, I swear this lady looked exactly like her. But Christina, it was originally from Germany. She had lived in Iceland for 2 years. She had just come from... Greece. Yes, not Germany, Greece. She lived in Greece for she was from there. See, now I'm all flustered. She lived in Iceland for 2 years, but she had just come from like Indonesia or something like that. She was there for like 10 years, I think. And it's really interesting. She was saying the people that gave the tour that she was giving have to be scuba certified, and not many people in Iceland want to be scuba certified. So I thought that had been interesting. Mm-hmm. It was very windy that day. And so she was telling us that we need to have our seatbelts on. She also said that her nickname is Roller Coaster, and she didn't want us to have to experience that. So she was very funny. On our way out of town, on our way to the Golden Circle, we learned that Reykjavik, we learned what it means. Reykja means smoky, and Vik means bay. So essentially, Reykjavik translates to Smoky Bay because that's how the people who founded it, they weren't very, what'd they say? Like, they weren't very intelligent or they weren't very educated at the time. And so they just kind of named things as they saw them, and they saw smoke coming from this bay and hence Smoky Bay, Reykjavik. But there's also a lot of renewable energy there, and in terms of the sustainability stuff that they use too.
Yeah, all of their energy is generated from the geothermal, I want to say spas, but it's not a spa. The geothermal vents. So they don't, you know, use any like fossil fuel or anything. Everything is generated from the land itself, which is, or the like the geothermal vents and stuff. So it's just really interesting. Everything's very sustainable. Not any pollution really. So it's just a very pure area. The water, very pure. You can drink it right out of the like lake or draining system from the glacier itself. So I actually, when we were snorkeling in the Silfra fissure between the two continental plates, I actually like just drank the water like right there that we were swimming in because it's so pure. So yeah, it's just, that's another thing that I really appreciated about Iceland, is just like how sustainable and like pure everything is, because you don't really find that many other places.
Well, there were a lot of curvy roads on our way out to the Golden Circle. And I thought it was a very interesting story that Christina had told. And the reason I want to share this is because it blows my mind what some, like the cultural differences and stuff. So the reason that there's a lot of curvy roads in Iceland, we learned, is because there are elves that live on the land. And I know it sounds crazy. So they build around where these elves are living. Well, Christina was telling us that she was apartment shopping with a friend, for this friend. And while they were like apartment hunting and everything, the realtor was really trying to sell them on this one location. And there was a porch with a view and everything. However, the question came up of, well, how do you know that no one will ever build here? And the person was saying, like, he could guarantee that no one would ever build there anything. No developers ever would, even though this was an area that was being very well built up and everything. But he was guaranteeing that she would always have this view. Well, it ended up that the realtor ended up showing Christina and her friend this piece of paper from the government saying that no one could ever build there because there were elves that were residing there. Yep, that's right. The Icelandic government believes in elves, and not just the Icelandic government, but the entire country. A lot of those people believe in elves and trolls within the country.
Yeah, it's cute.
I just thought it was crazy. It's cool. It is very cool. And I appreciate it. I don't want to sound like I'm dissing it. It's just, it blows my mind. Because it's just not something that you hear about all the time.
Right.
Just like Icelandic horses. That's another cultural thing. Icelandic horses are used for flirting there. So if I told Leanne, wow, your hair really looks like the mane of an Icelandic horse today. Here, it would sound like I'm insulting her. There, that's actually a huge compliment.
Because Icelandic horses are very strong and very, they withstand harsh conditions. They don't, they're out all year, even like in the winter and stuff. So, yeah, it is a compliment, I suppose, being compared to a horse.
So one of the places that we visited that day was Gullfoss, which translates to, gold translates to gold, and foss means waterfall. So gold waterfall is essentially what that translates to. That essentially was our first ever, you could technically call it our first ever stop in Iceland on a tour.
Right, on the tour.
Well, and it was beautiful. The time we were there, the sun was just starting to rise because the sun usually didn't come up until 10:30-ish.
It was like right around the sunrise, so the sky really complemented the waterfall as well. I mean, you can never go wrong with the scenery in Iceland, but it just happened to be like that time of day where everything was lit up so nicely.
Well, we were originally supposed to snorkel in the morning, but it got pushed to the afternoon, and I'm appreciative of that because I thought the views in the morning were a lot better where we were. Not that they wouldn't have been in the afternoon. But I really appreciated them.
Right. And then after we went and saw the waterfall, we went to see this geyser. And this geyser goes, I don't know what's the proper term, explodes, erupts. Every, like, what is it, 5 to 8 minutes or so? And it can...
About 5 to 10.
Yeah, and it can go up to 90 feet in the air. So that was pretty interesting to see, like, something, you know, just a natural phenomenon just erupt. I don't know, like, it really, like... It really intrigues me, and it's crazy, like, how many people are gathered around this. So, like, of course, you have, like, a whole crowd and slew of people, like, with all their cameras out, and just made me appreciate, like, trying to just see it in the moment. Like, I had my camera out, don't get me wrong, for the first time, but the second time I just, like, watched it and, like, without a screen, because it's just like something, you know, so cool exploding from the ground. This water, it's obviously very hot,
boiling.
So they, you know, have signs up saying, like, because, you know, people, like, don't go up and touch the water or anything, because, like, it's, like, scalding hot. And they also have, like, signs of, like, because people, you know, do whatever they think they can, and they'll, like, throw stuff in it. And somebody said that somebody threw in something that had, like, red dye in it, and even though it, like, caused a really, it made a really nice picture with the, you know, red dye exploding up in the air, like, it's really harmful to that natural phenomenon. So, just, yeah.
Well, yeah, it said 80 to 100 degrees Celsius was the water, so that's 176 degrees Fahrenheit to 212 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right. Yeah.
Well, one of the jokes that was told was, if you get lost in an Icelandic forest, how do you know how to get out? You just stand up. They really don't have any trees there. Apparently, the Vikings cut them down back when the Vikings had come to Iceland, and they just never grew back because of the climate that Iceland is in. So I think that's partly, personally, I partly think that's why it's so windy there, is because you don't have those trees and stuff cutting it out. Because when we were in Reykjavik, that stuff really was being, there really wasn't much wind where we were all the time, because of all the buildings and stuff around us. So, but snorkeling was a lot of fun. It was really cool to be in between, kind of like you were just saying, in between the North American and the Eurasian plates. That was an experience. I didn't get to drink the water because I was snorting water, because it kept getting into my nose a little bit because of my mustache. But it was a lot of fun. We didn't see any fish. We just did see a lot of rocks and a lot of deep... Would you call it crevices?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, the water is just so clear. Like, it's crystal clear. There's nothing, like, interfering your view. It felt pretty surreal, really. It was, I really enjoyed that. Like, how can... Not many people, like, do that kind of thing, so it's kind of cool to be able to say we did that.
Well, and to back you up a little bit, I'm looking, and I see, so that geyser, which one was it that we saw?
Like, the name?
Oh, Strokur. Or something like that.
Yeah, Stroker.
Yep. So that one shoots water 65 feet into the air. Sometimes it can reach as high as 130 feet.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
I really did appreciate on these trips, too. I'm glad that we went with the tour guides, because like you said earlier, like, we didn't have to drive. We didn't have to worry about conditions. But we also got these bonus stops. So, like, seeing the Icelandic horses wasn't originally on the itinerary. Or one of my favorite bonus stops probably was this pit stop with Christina, who stopped where these cows were inside, and we got ice cream.
Oh, that ice cream was so good.
Yeah, it really was delicious. And those dogs were cute that were outside. They were, like, mid-sized dogs that didn't look like they were going to get any bigger.
Yeah. They, the ice cream that we had, I guess it's like, I guess Icelanders really appreciate their ice cream, and it's so, like, buttery and smooth, and it's not like any ice cream I've ever had before, so, it was definitely a great bonus stop. And then, as we were leaving that stop and, like, driving back down the road, those dogs would, like, race our car. And so the dog would, like, run and actually was running faster than us. I was really impressed.
Well, Christine even said before she took off that the dog was going to race her. And yeah, that thing flew.
Right. Yeah. It was so cute.
Well, then we got back to Reykjavik that night, and downtown there was this big cat. And we're like, what is this big cat? It was a giant cat, and it had lights and everything on it. Come to find out, the cat is part of this, I don't know if it's legend or what you would call it.
Like their folk tales.
Yeah. So the cat represents the fact that you should be getting clothes for Christmas. Because if you don't get clothes, this cat is going to come and take you away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the short of it. But we, Leanne really wanted this lamb soup that Christina had recommended. So Leanne went and got lamb soup. There wasn't anything there for me to eat because it was just this tiny little place. So,
but you just chose not to.
Well, there really wasn't anything for me to eat. So Leanne got the lamb soup. Then we went to this craft bar, this craft brewery. And they had a lot of different craft beers. They had Founders there from Michigan. That blew my mind. And then Leanne kept making fun of me for this night, and she just kind of kept shaking her head. But I ended up having Italian for dinner that night.
Oh my gosh. Trent is the worst when it comes to trying the cuisine of, like, the place you're visiting. Like, they have, like, their main foods are, like, you know, seafood and, you know, lamb. They mainly have, like, root vegetables and stuff. Like, and he gets Italian food. Like, it's just, like, an insult, you know? Like, I don't know. I'm a firm believer. And if you're going to visit a place, like, you try what they have there. And you can't convince a picky eater to do anything. They get Italian. It's no fun.
One thing I thought was really interesting, and I made this note just on our second day of being there, is the music that we listen to versus what other countries listen to. We are very, and I know that we've started talking about this there, and I don't know what the phrase for it is, but they listen to a lot of American music. Like, they kept saying there would be Icelandic music on these trips, but their Icelandic music was just them playing American music. It's what we would listen to anyway. And so I thought that was very interesting in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we are just approaching an hour. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to save the rest of this for the podcast that will post on Thursday.
We didn't finish the rest of our day, did we?
We did.
Oh, okay.
Unless you have something you want to add.
Can I just backtrack to the day before? Remember that place you, like, really wanted to visit? That was very unique. Also, really.
Oh, yeah. The Iceland Phallological Museum, otherwise known as the Penis Museum.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, so this was of, I'm trying to think of the actual name of it. Essentially, it was like sea mammals, right? Oh, maybe not just even sea mammals. I think it was really any mammals. So we were reading when we first got there. One of the first things that you see in this exhibit is you're reading, and it started out as a joke. This guy was, I think, a professor. I could be making some of this up, but not all of it, I promise you. Anyway, I think he was a professor, though, and someone had brought him back, like, a whale penis or something, or, like, some sort of
specimen,
yeah. And it started as a joke. Well, then...
his collection grew.
Right. Then he had collected 13. And then he had collected more and more. And I don't even remember what the exact number was that he had.
I think it's over 400, like, exhibits they have.
Yeah, it was insane. So you were standing next to a sperm whale dick and a killer whale penis and...
It was just really interesting.
It was very interesting.
I couldn't even keep my composure together. It was just like, oh my gosh. Oh man. I don't know who recommended that to you, but I thought it was definitely worthy of bringing up in the podcast.
Yeah, Tom recommended that to me. Tom recommended the restaurant and that museum.
Yeah, so I guess it's the largest phallological display or exhibit in the world.
Well, it sure is one of a kind. You can say that with 100% certainty.
Right. Anyway, sorry to cut off your...
Oh, you're fine. I just didn't want to get into the next day because that starts our first two-day tour. So when you hear from us on Thursday, you'll hear about our South Coast tour. You'll hear about the West Coast tour. And I don't know, you'll hear about a bunch of other stuff too. You'll hear about our canceled trip and how we turned what we thought was going to be who knows what kind of a day into a great one. That and more on this Thursday's podcast, part two of the Iceland Talk. Have a great week, everyone.